भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय We are reading today from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 59, Verse 44 and 45. Ittham rama patim avapya patim striyasta. Brahmadayopi naviduhu padavim yadiya. भेजुर मुदा विरत मेधितयानुराग हासावलोक नव संगम जल जल्प लज्जा इत्थं रमा पतिमवाप्य पतिं स्त्रियस्ता ब्रह्मादयोपि न विदुः पदवीं यदीयाम् भेजुर्मुदा विरतमेधितयानुराग हासावलोक नवसङ्गमलज्जल्पलज्जाः इत्थं रमा पतिमवाप्य पतिं स्त्रियस्ता ब्रह्मादयोपि न विदुः पदवीं यदीयाम् भेजुर्मुदा विरतमेदितयानुराग आसावलोक नवसंगमलज्जा इत्थं रमा पतिमवाप्य पतिं स्त्रियस्ता ब्रह्मादयो न विदुः पदवीं यदीयाम् भेजुर्मुदा विरतमेदितयानुराग हासावलोक नवसंगम जल्प लज्जाः लेडीज इत्थं रमा पतिमवाप्य पतिं स्त्रियस्ता Nammadayopi naviduhu pagavim yadiyam Bhejuh mudavirata meditayanuraga Asavaloka navasangam agalpalajja. Students? Ittham namapatim avapyapatim striyasta Brahmadayopi naviduhu padavim yadiyam Bhejuh mudabhiratameditayanuraga Asavaloka navasangam agalpalajja. Students? Ittham namapatim avapyapatim triyasta Brahmadayopi naviduhu padavim yadiyam Bhejurmunahiratameditayanuraga Asavaloka navasangam agalpalajja. Ittham namapatim avapyapatim striyasta Brahmadayopi naviduhu padavim yadiyam Bhejur mudavirata meditayanuraga Asavaloka navasangam agalpalajja. So the Srimad Bhagavatam has many beautiful verses, and this is one of those verses that ranks high on the beauty scale, sweetness scale. So let's look at the word meanings. Ittham, in this manner, Ramapatim, the lord of the goddess of fortune, Avapya, obtaining, Patim, as her husband, Striyaha, the women, Taha, they, Brahma Adayaha, Lord Brahma and other demigods, Api, even, Na Viduru, do not know, Padavim, the means of attaining, Yadiyam, whom Bhejuhu partook of, Muda, with pleasure, Aviratam, incessantly, Edhitaya, increasing, Anurag, loving attraction, Hasa, smiling, Avaloka, glances, Nava, ever fresh, Sangama, association, Jalpa, playful conversations, Lajja, and shyness. Thus, those women obtained as their husband, the husband of the goddess of fortune, although even great demigods like Brahma do not know how to approach him. With ever-increasing pleasure, they experienced loving attraction for him, exchanged smiling glances with him, and reciprocated with him in ever-fresh intimacy, replete with joking and feminine shyness. Sanatana Goswami Path has a lot to say about this verse, and so we'll discuss this. So text 45. So let's chant together.
Pratyudgamasana varaharana dashaucha tambula vishramana vijana gandhamale kesha prasara shayana smatano pahariyai dasi shatapi vibho vidadu smadasyam.
This verse has a very important philosophical point. Dasyam, that's the last word, service. Translation: although the Supreme Lord's queens each had hundreds of maidservants, they chose to personally serve the Lord by approaching Him humbly, offering Him a seat, worshipping Him with excellent paraphernalia, bathing and massaging His feet, giving Him paan to chew, fanning Him, anointing Him with fragrant sandalwood paste, adorning Him with flower garlands, dressing His hair, arranging His bed, bathing Him, and presenting Him with various gifts. So these two verses have to be very high on the sweetness index. So I have a PowerPoint presentation where I will take a detour and go into less sweet matters, and then we'll come back and talk about these verses. So can we go to the show, slideshow? So these pastimes are sweet for devotees and controversial for non-devotees. And the reason they're controversial is because Krishna has married 16,100 wives in this pastime. And so people reject him. They say that he is immoral because he married 16,000 wives. I'm sure everybody here knows what moral and immoral means. Yes? No? Don't know what immoral, that's good. Or bad, I don't know. Human beings are different from animals. Animals can do whatever they want. Nobody's going to say, oh, that animal did such a bad thing. But when a human being does something bad, we can recognize that was not good, right? So there are laws of morality for human beings. That's what makes us different from animals. Things that we should not do. We should not just go and hit somebody. That's not moral, correct? For no reason. The animals do that, but we don't. So there are laws of morality for human beings. And so what people do is they say, oh, you're only supposed to marry one wife, and now you've married 16,000, so you must be immoral. So they reject him as God. He can't be God. So I want to teach the students here a concept which maybe you've not heard before. So let's go to the next slide. So what is this? A chicken? Anything else? A hen? Eggs? Okay, a hen sitting on an egg. I was taught that chicken are the smaller, you know, offsprings, and then the hen is the mother, right? So this is a hen sitting on eggs. Next. So that's a hen. Okay, we have concluded. What is that? What else? Half of the hen. Okay, so let's go to the next one. That's a half hen. Okay, so we are talking about half-hand logic today. This is from Prabhupada. I'm sorry, it's kind of small. Can somebody... Oh, actually, you might not have a microphone. I can't really see, but I'll try. From Our Second Chance. This is a book, compilation of Srila Prabhupada's writings and comments. So God sometimes displays himself as God, and sometimes as a human being, but the rascal impersonalists dismiss his pastimes as legend or mythology. Either they do not believe in the Shastra or they interpret them in their own way using Ardha Kukkuti Nyaya. This is Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela 5.176, that's the quote. The logic of half a hen. The logic of half a hen is called Ardha Kukkuti Nyaya. Kukkuti means hen, Ardha means half, Nyaya means logic. So once a man kept a hen, Prabhupada goes on to say, that delivered a golden egg every day. The foolish man thought, it is very profitable, but it is expensive to feed this hen. Better that I cut off her head and save the expense of feeding her. Then I'll get the egg without any charge. The impersonalists accept the Shastras in this way. They think, oh, this is not good. It is inconvenient. We shall cut this portion out. When Krishna says, one should see me everywhere, the rascal Mayavadis think it is very palatable. But when he says, give up everything and surrender to me, they disagree. They accept what is convenient and reject what is not. But the Acharyas do not distort the Shastras in this way. When Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna said, I accept whatever you have said. Next. So here's half-hen logic, and then I'll show you what full-hen logic is. So half-hen logic is Krishna married 16,000 wives, so I'll reject him as God, reject Krishna. Here's full-hen logic. Next. So the Shastra says, if you accept that he married 16,000 wives, then you have to accept the other things that the same Shastra is saying. And that is Shastra is saying, but he married each of them in a separate palace. So he had 16,100 palaces. Point number one. He married them at the same auspicious moment. I'm just quoting Prabhupada. This is Prabhupada's writings. By expanding himself into 16,100 forms. And Prabhupada says, this is from the Krishna book, and he behaved like an ordinary man and strictly followed the relationship between husband and wife required in ordinary homes. So if we accept he married 16,000 wives, then let's also accept all these other things. That would be full logic. You can't just cherry pick what you want to believe and then make decisions based on it. Okay, so the conclusion would be, this is all inconceivable. Inconceivable means it is beyond human logic and imagination. So the Bhagavatam says he's God. The Bhagavatam says he married 16,000 wives, but the Bhagavatam also says Krishna is God. Therefore, if I accept the Bhagavatam, I must accept he's God. This is full head logic. Okay. There's a lot to say on this subject, and I gave a lecture on this related to this a month ago, so I don't want to go through all those arguments again. But, you know, that's the lesson for today, is Ardha Kukuti Nyaya. Half-hand logic is faulty. So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Iha ekastham jagat krishnam pasya adya sacharacharam mama dehe guda kesha yachanya drashtumichasi. This is the 11th chapter. Krishna shows the universal form to Arjuna and says, Iha ekastham, in this body, jagat krishnam, the whole universe, see in my body. Pashya adya sacharacharam, see here the moving and the non-moving. Mama dehe gudakesha yachanya drashtumichasi, and whatever else you want to see, see it in my body. So this is God. So have you seen a snow globe? Do we know what a snow globe is? Yes? Has anybody not seen a snow globe? I should have brought one. Everybody's seen a snow globe. So snow globe is a transparent sphere, right? And it has small people inside, maybe sometimes horses, a carriage, and it has snowflakes inside. And they can move it and the snowflakes move. So that's a snow globe. Now imagine that this snow globe, inside all these animals and people are alive. They are alive. For a minute, let's imagine. Yeah? You can do that. And now let's say that you had the globe in your hand and you decided to go inside the globe. Become one of them. Become small inside the globe. So this is how Krishna comes into this world. This world is Brahmanda, the universal egg. Krishna, the universal egg is inside of him. This verse says, Iha ekastham jagat krishnam pasya adya sacharacharam mama dehe. See this whole universe inside my body. And then Krishna enters this snow globe, this Brahmanda. He comes. And the people in the snow globe think, oh, he's one among us. He's like us. Oh, he married 16,000 wives. That's immoral. And they reject him. Does that make sense? It doesn't. Because he created the snow globe. He's the owner of the globe. And the people inside are tiny. And not very smart. They don't know much outside the globe. What's outside the globe, they don't know. They're foolish. So when somebody from outside comes inside, they think that he's like them, one of them, but he's not. This is the idea. Krishna, the whole universe is inside of him, and then Krishna enters that universe. That's inconceivable. This is God. And when he enters, the foolish people think, oh, he's immoral. Okay. So I was going to say, talk about the verses themselves. I don't want to go too off topic from the verses because they're really sweet. So let's look at the verses, if you don't mind. Verse 44. Let's go to the Sanskrit. So, ittham, in this manner, ramapatim. So I'm now going to tell you what Sanatana Goswami Pad comments on these verses. Ramapatim. Here the translation is the Lord of the Goddess of Fortune. Sanatana Goswami Pad translates that as Rukmini Patim. That the word Rama here refers to Rukmini. And Krishna is the Lord of Rukmini, that's what's being referred to. Avapya, obtaining. He comments on that. How did they obtain Krishna as their husband? And he says that they had the qualifications. So, you know, this silly idea that Krishna is immoral, he married 16,000 wives. But he didn't marry 16,000 wives. The 16,000 wives wanted him to marry each of them. They prayed in this chapter, it comes before. They have desperately longed for God as their husband. And they have generated tremendous piety. And this piety has qualified them to get God as their husband. So instead of looking at it from Krishna's point of view, one should look at it from the wife's point of view, and you can understand what's going on here. It's the summit of their lives. It's the summit of their accomplishments. They have achieved, obtained, avapya, Krishna as their husband, patim. And Krishna, out of his immense compassion and mercy for his devotees, satisfies their desire, their pure desires. And that's why he marries them. Like everything else, he just satisfies his devotees. They have pure desire for him and he satisfies them. This is way beyond our material conception. As sadhakas, as aspiring devotees, it is our obligation to ask how these pastimes are different from our experience. Am I really understanding this, or is this something beyond my comprehension? Everything Krishna does, including marrying wives, is beyond our comprehension. So it is obligatory on us to ask how this is transcendental, how this is not material. And of course we ask the acharyas for help, enlightenment. So here is their qualification. Brahma dayaha api na viduhu. Lord Brahma and other demigods, they do not know Krishna. What to speak of, you know, achieving him, obtaining him. They do not know him. Not only, Goswami Pad says, not only do they not know him, they do not even know his position, padavim. Here it is translated as the means of attaining yadiyam. They do not know Krishna's position. That's why Lord Brahma tried to steal the cowherd boys. Or Indra, every now and then, has bouts of forgetfulness and then he will become offensive to Krishna. Bhejuhu muda aviratam edhitaya anuraga. This is a very important, interesting point that Goswami Pad makes. Edhitaya is increasing, anuraga is loving attraction. Muda is happiness, pleasure. The happiness in devotional service is constantly increasing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, anandam buddhivardhanam pratipadam. At every step, anand buddhivardhanam is increasing. Happiness is constantly increasing. It's inconceivable, again, to understand this. So, Goswami Pad says, the 16,000 wives have achieved the summit of happiness because they have achieved their goal. You're climbing Mount Everest. Now you've gone to the top of the Mount Everest. You have achieved everything there is to achieve, right? But that summit of happiness is just the beginning, because it's constantly ever-increasing happiness. Then Goswami Pal says, this is to contrast with Kaivalya. Prabodhananda Saraswati talks about Kaivalyam Narkayate. The happiness from impersonal liberation is like hell for the devotee. Why is it? Because of this. The happiness in the Brahmananda, the happiness of liberation, does not continuously increase. It's static. It's not ever increasing. That's its quality. Only the happiness in devotional service, edhitaya anuraga muda, is increasing continuously. This is Goswami Pad's explanation. And then we have some intimate relationships, hasa, smiling, avaloka, glances, navasangama, ever-fresh association. This is another quality of devotional service. Why is the happiness constantly increasing? Because there is constant freshness. There is something new each time. Nava. Nava means, here it is said, ever-fresh. It means new. So the association, the sangama, it's almost like I'm meeting Krishna for the first time every day. He goes out and comes back from work, from his administrative kingly responsibilities, comes back, and then the wife is seeing him completely as new. Jalpa, playful conversations, lajjaha, and shyness. So this is verse 44. And then verse 45, pratyudgama asana vara arhana pada shaucha. So Goswami Pada explains the word pratyudgama in four ways, four meanings. I'll give you the four meanings. So he starts by saying, even though they have achieved the summit of happiness, they do not become proud. I'm done. Or more significantly, satiated. They never become satisfied. They married Krishna, but that's not enough. Rather, they perform different services, seva, that's the word he uses, with love, as if they were made servants. This is what this verse is saying. So the word pratyudgama, he explains four meanings. So here is a mental picture. Krishna is going out in the morning to work. The wife is in the palace with her many maid servants. Then Krishna comes back in the evening. And when he comes back, they say, here's what the wives, each wife in each 16th of the 16,000 palaces says. This is the word of pratyudgama. Durat darshana matre naiva asana utthaya. They see Krishna from afar, from maybe the palace window, and they're sitting on their seats, and they get up immediately. Durat, far, darshana, seeing from far, they get up. Agre abhimagamanam, they go in front of him. Adaraha, with great respect, they say. Aho bhagyam asmakam, this is what they're saying. Jai, jai, iti adi. So they say, what great good fortune of mine that I am seeing you. He's just gone to work in the morning, he's come back in the evening. What great good fortune it is of mine to see you. Jai, jai, iti. In this way, adi mishta vakyahi, with sweet sentences they welcome him. Then, atapatra dharana adina. They hold umbrella, atapatra in Sanskrit, this is umbrella, it's an umbrella. So they take an umbrella out. Chasammananam, this is an indication of honor, respect. Another possible explanation of this word, pratyudgama, is gruhakarma adi parityagena tad eka asaktirva. They are so attached to him, they are constantly thinking about him at home, that as soon as they see him, they abandon all the work, anything that they were doing, they drop it and then go. That's another meaning of the word. Here's the third one. Bhayam sashankatvam sambrahmova. They see him and they're afraid. I don't understand this. I'm just telling you what he's saying. And they feel sambrahma, confused. And sashankatvam, they have some doubt. And so they immediately go out to see him. Or, rather meaning, patitvena sadhvi bhavena va. because he is their husband, and they are virtuous ladies, who are chaste ladies, who want to serve him. That's their entire meaning of their existence. Sadhvi bhavena. They go to serve him. Or, navasangama anusandhana adinava. Or to get his new, fresh association, that happiness that they get just by seeing him, being with him again. That's why they get up and go quickly to meet him. So, let's see, anything else? And then, of course, you see that there are different ways in which they serve him, which is reminiscent of what we do with when we serve the deities. Pada, Shaucha, Tambula, Vishramana. We put, you know, give him rest. We wash his feet. We offer betel nuts. Vijana, fanning, Gandha. We offer fragrant substances, sandalwood paste. Malyaihi, flower garlands. Kesha Prasara, when the devotees are dressing the deity, they arrange his hair. Shayana, putting to bed. Snapana, bathing. Upaharyaihi, you know, Goswami Pad says this means nice preparations. Krishna's favorite food preparations are offered. Shayana, putting to bed. Snapana, oh, I said that. So these are all activities we are all doing in the temple. This is how the temple is a spiritual world. Prabhupada's program is perfect for us. So, and then the final point is dasyam, service. This is a recurring theme in our Vaishnava philosophy. Everything is dasyam, service. Whether it's in the mood of conjugal love, or whether it's in the mood of just dasyam, pure servitorship. Everything is in the mood of service. So, this is our disease. Is we are serving the wrong things and we want to serve Krishna. And the Bhagavatam, when we read, then we understand that that is our actual position, to serve Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Madhya Leela Chaitanya Charitamrita, I don't remember the verse number, he says, Shri Krishna Rupadi Nishevanam Vina. Shri Krishna Rupadi Nishevanam Vina. See what the next line is. Vyarthani me ahani akhilendriyani alam pashana shushkendhana bharakani aho bibharmi vatani katham hatatrapa. This is the verse. So what this means is Krishna, Shri Krishna Rupa Adi, the names, the forms, the pastimes of Shri Krishna, Nishevanam, Vina, without serving these, Vyarthani, useless, everything is useless. Vyarthani, Me, Ahani, my days are useless, Akhila Indriyani Alam, and all my senses are useless. Vyartha, thank you. Pashana Shushka Indhana, Bharakani Aho. Pashana is dead stone, Prabhupada translates it as dead stone. Shushka Indhana, dead wood, spent wood. Bharakani, it's just a burden. These senses, this body is just a burden. Like dead stone, like dried wood. Bibharmi va tani katham hatatrapaha. I am without any shame, Mahaprabhu is saying. Hatatrapaha, without shame. How will I bear this burden of this body? When I don't use my senses to serve Krishna, these senses and these days that I'm passing are pointless. They're just a burden. When and how long, for how long can I go on carrying this burden of shame? That's what he's saying. So the wives of Krishna, they're serving him in pure dasya. And this is what every sadhaka's dream, goal, summit is, serving Krishna with our senses. So, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhaktir Uttama. Serving the Lord of the senses with our senses is the summit of bhakti. It's a perfect Uttam Bhakti. So, it is one has to remember this Ardha Kukuti Nyaya, just to summarize, that Krishna also lifted the Govardhan Hill. You know, he did all these magnificent things in the Srimad Bhagavatam. If we just cherry pick and focus on one thing, then we are paving our path to hell. In fact, the interesting thing, which I've never understood, and there are explanations for it, but it's inconceivable to me, is that when Krishna lifts up the Govardhan hill, he does these great feats. What is the effect of that on the people who are watching him do them? I mean, if I used to say, watch these strongman contests. You know, there would be strong men, and they would lift up this 500-pound rock, and then lift it up and put it on a platform. And then they have to do it a number of times, in 10, whatever, few seconds, right? And these people are bulging muscles, and they're doing this every day. And when you watch it on TV, you say, oh, that's amazing, this guy is strong. But would you invite this person to dinner at your home? No. I mean, you know, would you want to make a relationship with them? No, you are in awe, you're fine, you're strong, but that's pretty much it. It was good watching, it was good entertainment. But when Krishna lifts up a whole mountain, what is the effect on his devotees? So the last verse of this chapter in Srimad Bhagavatam, where Krishna lifts the Govardhan hill, it goes like this: Tato anuraktaihi pashupaihi parishrito rajan swagoshtham sabalo vrajadharihi tatha vidhaniyasya kritani gopika gayantya iyur muditaridhi sprishaha. So this verse is telling us, Krishna has just lifted the Govardhan hill, now what? Tato anuraktaihi pashupaihi parishrito. Krishna is surrounded by the cowherd boys who are extremely attached to him, anuraktaihi parishrito rajan swagoshtam. And he goes back with Balaram to his village where he is tending the cows. And the gopikas, what are they doing? They are remembering that pastime of lifting of Govardhan hill by Krishna. They are singing of it with happiness. Gayanti iyur mudita, because those pastimes touch their heart, that they increase the love that they feel for Krishna. Instead of increasing the awe and reverence for Krishna, these great exploits, they actually increase the love these devotees feel for him. So this is the inconceivable effect of Krishna's pastimes. Not only are his pastimes bewildering to the non-devotees, but they, despite their superhuman nature of his superhuman exploits, they increase the love in the hearts of his devotees. So that's why for us, it's also important to read not only these parts, but also the entire Srimad Bhagavatam from verse 1. So I'll conclude here, and then if any questions or discussion.
Very nice. So do you think that these wives, they were serving Krishna as the Lord, or as a king, or as a husband? I mean, were they conscious that he was Lord, or they were serving him just as a king or a husband? And then is this applicable to ordinary dealings like husband and wife in a lesser way? Does it have some kind of connection in terms of the service and so forth? Mm-hmm.
So the wives of Krishna, they knew he was the Lord, Supreme Lord. But that was secondary in their consciousness. For them, the primary was that he was their husband, and that he was their Nija Praneshwara, Goswami Pad says. And here also there is the word Vibhoho. Dasi Shatapi Vibhoho Vidaduhu Smadasyam. And the translation is for the Almighty Lord, Vibhoho. Goswami Pad translates that as Nija Praneshwara, Praneshwara. That means it's much more intimate, the Lord of their own life heirs, Praneshwara. So for them, he was the husband, and they were serving the husband in the mood of Dasya. And if we, now the question is about the ordinary relationships, and that's a loaded question. but in general, in the Vedic context, the husband was addressed as such. You know, he was treated as the lord of the home, and the wife's duties were to serve him. But these are transcendental topics, and what we're talking about now is cultural context. And cultural context change, but transcendental topics remain. So I don't worry so much about the changing relationships now, or whatever they are. The important point to note in devotional relationships, whatever our culture is that there should be a mode of service. Just like here, the ladies are serving Krishna in the mode of dasya. We should take up the mode of service even in our relationships. So there are the vertical relationships. There is one vertical relationship we have with Krishna, and then we have a lot of horizontal relationships with the devotees. And so the horizontal relationships with devotees should be used to strengthen the vertical relationship with Krishna. And when that happens, then the vertical relationship with Krishna feeds and nourishes the horizontal relationships with everybody. So yes, whatever it is, husband, wife, father, son, or teacher, student, the main primary function for us should be to help our dependents grow in Krishna consciousness. Yes, Prabhu.
The personal aspect of Krishna is inconceivable. I mean, it starts right off, but Prabhupada describes this in the purport of the first verse of the Bhagavatam. So when a person comes in contact with our movement, oftentimes it's a stumbling block, you know, these amazing activities of Krishna. So, you know, I think even senior devotees, they sometimes, you know, their minds just kind of go, you know, what do I do with this? And so I guess the question that I have is, well, how does one actually accommodate and realize these personal aspects of Krishna? I can think of many shlokas, but this is, of course, the challenge that particularly a new devotee has to face. And can you give some
suggestions? Yes, I'll try to, there are multiple levels to that question. I'm not sure I'm qualified to answer them, but I'll try. So the senior, for the senior devotees, I mean, my experience has been that, I mean, it took me a long time to actually get into my brain that the personal conception is even important. I was enamored by the philosophy. And the philosophy is not, you know, it's in a book, Bhagavad Gita, you don't see a person, so it's fine for most people. And so those new devotees have a problem with the personal conception, they can take up the philosophy. And, you know, the philosophy will cleanse the impurities that come in the way. But maybe people are not philosophically inclined so much. But my personal experience is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the road, is the way to personal understanding of Krishna. He is the, as Prabhupada says, most munificent avatar of this age. And without his mercy, we cannot get into personal, you know, the personal aspects of Krishna. That's my feeling. Because when we read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we see, you know, personal relationships and dealings between devotees who we can relate to at some level, although that's also transcendental. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not lifting up mountains. He is not doing these, although he is, in some limited context, he's showing his universal form and 600 forms, but they are limited. They are not the central theme. So he's in the mood of dasya, and he's teaching us how to approach Krishna in a personal form. His desperation, his desperate hankering for Krishna, that touches the heart. And that's how it's worked for me. Anyway, you know, then I started finally realizing what it means for a person, Krishna. So I'm not achieved anything yet, or realized anything yet, but at least I understand theoretically that this is why the person Krishna is God, because of his all attractiveness. So now for a new sadhak, I guess that depends on the context. There are so many different people that are coming to our movement from so many different cultural contexts. You know, if they are coming from an impersonalist context, then it becomes very difficult. So then you have to hammer the philosophy. That's what Prabhupada did. You know, just destroyed the impersonal conception and by showing its unreasonableness, its illogicality, its incompleteness. You know, that's how Prabhupada, at least I saw him always, whenever I read his writings, that's what he's doing. He's logically destroying the foundations of impersonalism. A lot of the people have that problem, I think. Then coming to the pastimes themselves, lifting of Govardhan Hill and everything, these things have to be introduced in sequence. They shouldn't be 10th canto right from the beginning, I think. I mean, Prabhupada did translate Krishna book, but those were emergencies, and we are not Prabhupada. But I feel like and Prabhupada has given instructions repeatedly. You read the Bhagavad Gita first, you know. And the Bhagavad Gita, once you go through that, then you get to the pastimes. Pastimes just heard become very, I mean, they seem dubious, you know. Oh yeah, these are just fairy tales. Without the philosophy, they become, it's easy to disbelieve in them and reject everything. But once you have the philosophy and you say, well, such a rich base, such a rich intellectual foundation, can't be without substance. Then slowly, I remember my experience, when I started reading, when I was a new devotee, which I still am, I started reading the Nectar of Devotion. No, actually I started reading Krishna book first. I read 10 books and I couldn't go any further. 10 pages and I couldn't go any further. It seemed ridiculous to me, the whole thing. And I'm from India. I mean, I grew up in India. I've seen, you know, I know about these past, I've heard about them. But when I started reading them, it just seemed outrageous. But they had the good sense to stop. The same thing happened with the Nectar of Devotion. I started reading it. And I couldn't make it through. Because I started becoming offensive. It just seemed childish to me. So then I stopped. And then I went back, you know, I never gave up. So the Bhagavad Gita, you have to have something that anchors you. Yeah, and different people have different mentalities. There are those devotees who are just pure already. They're pure-hearted, innocent. When they come to us and you tell them Krishna lived to Govardhan Hill, then they're just amazed. And, you know, they fall in love with him. I wish I could be like that. So it depends on the flavor of the person. Did I answer your question? I just wait for the microphone.
Those are good personal experiences that you have, but I think it also, you know, there's a direct connection between the intensity with which we execute our devotional practices to our ability to
preach.
Not just to preach, but also to accommodate the personal conception. Bhaktyamam abhijananti, vivanyas chasmi tatvatahan.
True.
You know, and you know, on a very practical level, you know, it may not be on a pastime level, but as one renders service to the spiritual master and Prabhupada's mission, he gains more and more of this perception of how Krishna reciprocates with him, you know, and it's very personal. That's another whole aspect of realizing the personal, or another way that personal feature is realized, and you know, this is direct reciprocation that will take place based upon our attempts to get pleasure to the Lord.
See, but what I found is that a lot of the people that I interact with, they are. They're not satisfied intellectually by hearing about them, the pastimes. I mean, there is this tendency to just, what is this? This is nonsense. So, but there is a great intellectual depth to Krishna's pastimes, even the lifting of the Govardhan Hill. And if we can present that, then it becomes doubly relishable when they actually hear that and they say, wow, then it just transforms their, you know, it moves them up to another level altogether.
When the philosophy.
That's right. When we give the philosophical underpinnings of any pastime, then it just becomes a completely different volume because there's nothing close to this kind of thing. You know, the philosophy is extremely rich, it's tenable, it's self-consistent, and that's what I think that we should bring out to people. Then they are less outraged. I mean, the outrage goes out of the window. It's just not even a consideration anymore when we do that. That's my So for example, somebody was telling me, a devotee, he was in Israel, and he was showing a picture of Krishna lifting the Govardhan Hill. And the painting had the Govardhan Hill on his finger, but it was a little skewed, you know, it was not exactly the middle. So somebody came up to him and said, well, you know, this can't be possible because it's not in the center of gravity. So then the response would be, well, if you accept that a person can lift the mountain, then why does he have to find the center of gravity to lift it? Okay. Anything else? Yes, Prabhu.
I wrote to Krishna consciousness as a scientist or something like that. I mean, you're talking about all the problems that I wrestle with. I mean, you spend quite a considerable time wrestling with these things, and it's very interesting to see it laid out and how you reason with it and dealt with it. So I look forward to it.
Thank you. What would you at the back?
Prabhu brought that up. What's the next step for you? You put the books down, then what? You said you started to read Nectar Devotion, Krishna book, and you put them down.
Yeah.
What happened next?
So what happened next was I read the Bhagavad Gita, then I started reading the Bhagavatam. I started from the first verse. I heard Prabhupada had given the instruction that you should read from start to finish. So I read every verse, purport everything. And then I got to the 10th canto. And I did this, and I had running conversations with devotees to help me resolve my issues. When I got to the 5th canto, I was in great turmoil. And Ranjit Prabhu was kind enough to give me Sadaputa Prabhu's book. And then I read that book, I took a pause, and I read his books on Vedic cosmology. I used that as a reference, so it kept me going. And then I got to the 10th canto, and then I discovered Prabhupada's Krishna book again, because I had to prepare for lectures, so I would read his Krishna book, and it all was making perfect sense. So you could say I'm testimony to Prabhupada's instruction, that it works. When Prabhupada said something, and if you follow it, it works. And then things happen in inconceivable ways, like I came across the writings of Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur in preparing for this, and I said, oh, wow. What intellect? I mean, he's a genius. And then I came across Sanatana Goswami Pada's. So it's all a work in, it's not a linear thing, you know. It's all simultaneously happening in an inconceivable way. Changing, it's purifying. It's basically a process of purification. I remember Godaram Prabhu, I was talking to him once. And I told him about my struggles, and he said, well, you just need more purification then. And I was thinking, oh, he's got such conviction. I must be really impure. And it was true, and it is true. So to the extent we have impurities in the heart, we have a problem. But like I said in response to your question, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was the verse, Mage vana mage keho patra va apatra ihara vichara nahi jane deya matra. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives without seeing whether we have the qualifications. Whether even we are asking for it, Mage vana mage keho. Are we asking? No. Still, doesn't matter. Patra va apatra, qualified, no matter. Ihara vichara nahi jane, he doesn't know this. Deya matra, he only gives. So the crowning glory for me of Gaudiya Vaishnavism is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When we approach him, everything becomes sweet, drowns in nectar, and then all these problems, we stop caring about them. It's not like we have the answers, but we don't care. So I've reached the realization that I don't care about my doubts, which disturbs me, because I started out very fixated on knowing the truth. But I don't care anymore. They cease to be important. Maybe that's a bad thing. We'll see. Time will tell. Pushkar Prabhu.
You mentioned that.
Yes.
That
verse, so I thought of the other verse.
Which verse? Which verse?
When you quoted, but I thought of another few, like this verse was quoted. It's from the Chandragiri in Africa, but they also say Sri Ramadhar composed the verse maybe on the spot, or it's given. But so it says second line, Shamnat Shastra Devadaya. All the seeming conflicts of the Shastra, perplexities of the Shastra, Shamnat Shastra Devadaya, the arguments, counter arguments, they're all dissipated in one with the mercy. One gets the ocean of mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all those things.
Where is this verse?
It appears just when Govinda arrives to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, somewhere in Madhyalila, 8, 9, 10, he comes back to Puri. Govinda appears there, and then Sarvabhauma is there at the time, and he says, I don't remember chat numbers, I'm not good at, but so Govinda arrives, and he's a godbrother of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Sarvabhauma is asking Sri Ramadhar, how is it that he's a godbrother, but now he's going to serve? And then, anyway, Sri Ramadhar quotes that verse about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But anyway, Sarvabhauma was saying this is not etiquette, that Govinda is a godbrother, but then it's put forward the argument that the guru, Ishvara Puri, instructed him to do that. And that there's a play on words in there, that Ishvara Swatantra. Ishvara means Ishvara Puri, but also Ishvara means Lord Chaitanya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They're Swatantra, they're not under the control of anybody. If he decide, Ishvara Puri decide, or Lord Chaitanya has decided, this is how it's going to go. A very nice verse. I remember, I would forget part of it, but Krishna Sarup said it was like one of his favorite verses. I consider him a connoisseur of shlokas. You know, so many stotras, while he's cooking or anything, you can go on and on, chanting. But he loves that verse. And the way he sings it is also amazing. Yeah. Hello, doing it. Okay. You can't try that at home, but the way he sings.
Anybody else? Okay, thank you very much, Nitai Gaur Premanande.